Since she first moved to the United States from her native Japan in 2012, Miki Yamanaka has made a name for herself as one of the best young piano players in the New York jazz scene. She's worked with bassist Harish Raghavan and the Charles Mingus Big Band. Her second album as a leader, Shades of Rainbow, is a collaboration with tenor player Mark Turner and also features bassist Tyrone Allen as well as her husband Jimmy McBride on drums. I caught up with Miki Yamanaka on Zoom recently, and I asked her to talk about some of her piano inspirations. The first person that she mentioned was the one-time pianist with the Jazz Messengers, Cedar Walton.
Somehow I came to New York for a week and I saw Cedar Walton, and I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. I went back two more nights because I was just so amazed by that concert. So I decided to move to New York after that. It's kind of young and foolish move, but.
So you saw Cedar Walton, like, did you have a chance to study with him, or were there mentors that you had along the way?
No, I didn't get to meet him at all, because when I went there, so like I didn't speak any English at all, because, you know, I was just a tourist. Like, I didn't speak English. I didn't know anyone. I didn't even have the idea of meeting him. And after moving here, I think he passed away maybe within like a couple years or something, that I couldn't really even afford to go to the Vanguard to listen to him. I couldn't afford doing that. I was like so poor. So like I didn't get to meet him, but I got to meet Martha Walton, Cedar's widow. She has been super sweet, super duper sweet. And she has shared many stories about Cedar with me. So definitely Cedar is one of the reasons why I am here.
So can you tell me about your new recording, Shades of Rainbow? What was the impetus behind making the record?
My trio, featuring Tyrone Allen and Jimmy McBride, we've been working in the city a lot. We were like, yeah, time for us to record as this unit, you know? And then like I got this gig in the city like multiple nights, which is rare in New York. Like there's always one hit, you know? But there are a lot of those. And then like I got like a 3 nights engagement. So I asked Mark Turner. Mark Turner was on my previous record as well, called Stairway to the Stars. That was like a home recording during the pandemic. So I already had a relationship with Mark. Then in the meantime, I asked Corey, hey, what's going on?
That's Corey Weeds. Corey owns Cellar Music, which is the label that just released Miki Yamanaka's new recording.
So I talked to Corey, hey, like I have this idea, like Mark Turner is a famous and an incredible musician. And with my trio being super tight, I think that's kind of a selling point to the label that I've worked with. And I asked him, hey, like, is there any way that we could do a recording after this engagement? And like, are you like willing to release that record with your label? And then Corey goes, you know what? I have a better idea. And then he was like, I can actually hook you up with a little tour in the West Coast and you can record in Vancouver and I can sponsor you all that. And I was like, what? I was like, is this even possible? We had a little fun four nights engagement in the West Coast. And then we recorded and just all my original music. Mark has played my original music when he was an upset. Like he came down to rehearse with me one time. He came down to play with me at Smalls without any audience a couple of times. So he has played all those tunes already. And then I actually prepared a few more tunes for this recording. Just wanted to make it a little bit more special. And then during the gig, we played. So like that was like my first time getting to play right before with the same exact band, like multiple nights, multiple sets of music, my music, and then record. So I think that's why like the music actually came out really organically, really naturally. And like it sounds like we're, you know, actually having fun in like a band, you know?
Thank you. Can you talk about like what attracts you to Mark's playing? I mean, to me, he kind of there's something about him that reminds me of like Lenny Tristano school, like a little bit of Warren Marsh.
Linear, yeah, definitely. I was introduced to Mark's playing with Omer Avital's record. That they used to play in New York all the time. I was obsessed with Omer's playing for a long time when I was in college. And then Mark was on, and I was like, who the hell is this amazing saxophonist? And then I got to know who he was. And then, like, I'm not really too familiar with his own stuff. Then I actually started listening to more of his stuff now. But Kurt Rosenwinkel's live record that they did at the Vanguard, that was one of my favorite music that's ever happened to the world. It's just the way he constructs the line so linear, like, but then with so much fire. I think that's kind of special. I feel like the way he approaches the music, very like studiously. He's not like, oh yeah, I'm gonna play whatever that came to my mind. And he's like very studious. When I was working with him for my tunes, he was like, okay, so can you specify the voicings? Because he really wanted to study my tune like he does to everybody else's music. Like, that's something that is very like, wow. Like, it's still to this day that amazes me how studious and how professional he is to the music. Sometimes he reminds me of like Stan Getz, Warren Marsh, like the line wise definitely, but like the passion of like, you know, like a groove of Sonny Rollins sometimes here and there. He has such a unique voice. And also, like, he's such a funny person to be around. That's one thing that I got to know him a lot, and he's really funny to be around. And I kind of care about making music with someone that, you know, a fun person to be around, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's nice. So I wanted to ask you about a couple of the other tunes on the recording. Now, you have a song that's called Song for Mary Lou. I'm assuming that's in honor of Mary Lou Williams. Can you talk about what the inspiration was behind that tune?
Yeah, so Mary Lou Williams, obviously incredible. One of the first female figures to do this music as a band leader, as a composer, as like writing a big ass suite, doing the thing, you know?
So you have another song on there. I think it's called That's Not Betty. Can you talk about the story behind that?
Yeah, so it's the correct title is That Ain't Betty.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That Ain't Betty. Like, I just wanted to make it a little funny. So it is a contrafact of Alone Came Betty. That's written by Ben Golson.
A contrafact, by way of explanation, is a composition based on a set of pre-existing chord changes, a new melody and arrangement written over the chord structure of an existing tune.
I like writing contrafacts because people like playing the changes that they know already, you know? It's like people shine. And I was thinking about Mark playing it. That tune and Shades of Rainbow, like I thought about Mark in mind. One of the reasons why I like writing contrafact is that musicians can, like, don't have to read the sheet music anymore when they're blowing. So like magic happens better, like, or like not forced. So they can just like, at least when they're blowing, they can just like kind of do their thing.
Like, that blows my theory out of the water. I thought maybe it was an allusion to Betty Carter. Speaking of Betty Carter, I read that you participated in the Betty Carter Jazz Ahead program.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I was wondering if you could talk about that and are there things that you learned from Betty Carter's example?
What is he doing? I've been looking and looking and looking and looking all over. Hoping you'll be found. I'm on the loose.
Yeah, so like Betty Carter's Jazz Ahead was like a great program that was, you know, like started by Billy Taylor, Dr. Billy Taylor, right? But Bill Taylor wasn't there, of course, when I did that. That was like almost 10 years ago. And I got to study with Jason Moran and Cyrus Chestnut when I did that. That was stacked faculty. So like we definitely had some like listening party. We listened to a bunch of Betty Carter's like, you know, recordings, how like she was like spontaneous and like, you know, band directing, like how she was fierce, you know. I definitely love the fact that she was like bossing. Like we watched some of the videos of her like doing the rehearsals with the young bands and like she's bossing, you know. I was like, yeah. That's kind of how I felt watching Betty Carter's like videos. I was like, dude, cool. I can do that too. You know, like I'm not going to stop this anymore. Just like, I'm going to be the boss.
March is designated as Women's History Month. I was going to ask you if you could reflect on what it's like as a woman in the contemporary jazz scene. And also like, is there advice that you would offer to like another aspiring film?
Yeah. Celebrating women, celebrating Black History Month, celebrating, you know, AAPI Month, you know, it's all incredible, like, you know, occasions to reflect how amazing, you know, certain group of people are. As a woman myself, I still believe that if you can play, you would work. If you can't play, you won't work. So I'm a firm believer of you gotta go shed and otherwise it won't work. So as a woman, just like, I'm so glad that there are more of them out there now, you know, like my best friend, Nicole Glover, works with Artemis and like they're doing a bunch of all female group, blah, blah, blah. I've worked with Diva before. Diva has been doing all female thing, but I'm not so like into all female necessarily. I want female to be just existing, you know, existing naturally, so we don't even have to mention that, oh, you're a female player, you know. That's kind of my goal, like to see. So like all the aspiring musicians out there, hey man, do your thing, go home and shed, love the music and listen to the music, go out, be heard and do your thing. And if you do the thing that we've been doing and that you're gonna be heard, then the day will come, you know, like we don't have to specify, hey, it's all female band. It just happens to be all female band, you know? That's what I want, you know?
I've been speaking with pianist Miki Yamanaka. Her recent recording on Cellar Music is called Shades of Rainbow. It features the tenor saxophonist Mark Turner. You can find more information on her at mikiyamanaka.com. For Jazz 88, I'm Peter Solomon.